Are you abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us talk to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray now that you will send the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit upon this declaration of thy truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our text today is from the first epistle of John, the second chapter, verse 18 through 29. We are in a continuing series of the study of 1 John, and so sometimes we go verse by verse, sometimes section by section. So far I have covered the fellowship section, where John the Apostle tells us about this wonderful fellowship, this unbroken fellowship we all can have with the Lord Jesus. Then I took you to the doing the will of God section, where John says that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Then I took you to the Antichrist section, and now today we are going in the direction of the abiding in Christ section. Before I get to this abiding in Christ section, however, there are two passages in the second chapter of 1 John that some of you would like to have explained. At least that's my assumption. So I'll try to explain those two passages first before I go into the abiding passage of this book. Verse 18 and 19 says this: Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. When I read this, I just take it at face value. John says that there were some people in the churches who pretended to be true Christians, but eventually they left the church or the churches, and when they left the churches, their true colors were revealed, and then it was known that they were only pretenders and that they were antichrists. And this reminds me of a parable the Lord Jesus gave. It is a parable of the wheat and the tares. Jesus said a householder was sowing wheat during the day. While everyone slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares during the night. Now, a tare is a weed, but it looks like wheat. Many people like to pull the tare out to purify the wheat field, but Jesus says, don't do that. He says, because while you pull out the tares, you might pull out some wheat. Jesus does not want anyone that is wheat to be lost, because everyone that's wheat is his child, born of God. So the parable ends that we should wait till harvest time, and then God will bring about the separation. This teaching is also reinforced by the words of our Lord Jesus in the 7th chapter of Matthew, where he says, Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, what Jesus says to these people, although you have prophesied or preached in my name, although you have cast out devils in my name and done many wonderful works, he says, I really disapprove of your conduct. I did not really regard you as my friends or as my children. Really, you are not for me, but you are antichrists. You said you were for me, but you weren't. You are against me. You did this all for your own gain and profit. So John says, getting back to this first epistle, that if these who have left us would really have been part of us, born again people, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest that they were not all of us. So, till the end time, there will be the wheat and the tares growing together in practically every congregation in the world, and it's best for us not to try to separate them, but to wait until harvest time to let God do it. And this doesn't refer to backsliders leaving the church. This refers to people who were amongst us or are amongst us who try to act like they're Christians, but they're really only pretenders. They will not allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live within them, to control their lives, so they're antichrists. So, my friends, beware of all those people who show up once in a while. They want to purify the church. That's their big message. And before it's all said and done, they've done more damage than good. Jesus says, don't do that. I am the great purifier, and I am the great separator, and let me take care of it. Because every time you pull out tares, my friend, you uproot some of the wheat that's close by. And you're not just getting rid of the tares, but you get rid of some of the wheat, especially of some of the younger Christians in the Lord that don't have the spirit of discernment. Again, so just get your hands off it. Let God do it. Let God be the separator in his own time. And that is the way the history of the church began, isn't it? Because in that pure congregation that was born on the day of Pentecost, there were two people by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And my friend, it was not up to Peter to separate them, but God was the one who separated them and slew them, and they both were buried on the same day. Indeed, my friends, judgment belongeth in the hands of God. Now let's go to the second passage in 1 John that is perhaps misunderstood, and that's in verse 20. Here John says, but ye have an unction, which means you have an anointing, from the Holy Spirit, that means from Jesus, and ye know all things. And then we have a similar passage in verse 27, where John says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now let me ask you this question. Do you really believe that you, as an honest Christian, know all things? I've heard people say, Pastor Schultz, I know everything. I have the Holy Spirit, I have the anointing, and so I know all that is to be known, and I don't need the church. And I don't need pastors and evangelists and teachers and apostles. I don't need, my friend, any of this. I'm totally self-sufficient because I have the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this other question. Does this attitude harmonize? Just think about the attitude. Does this attitude harmonize with everything else in the Bible? Now, we're learning something new, don't we, today? And that is, if a scripture or a scripture interpretation or an attitude does not harmonize with the rest of divine truth of the Bible, then we know we have the wrong interpretation. So verse 20 says, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye knew all things. Does it really mean all things in the absolute sense? Does it mean we have an unction that we know all about science, like about nuclear physics, all about history, all about literature? So if you take that literally, that means you know as much as God knows. And you put yourself on the same level as God. Only God knows all things. And don't puff up yourself and say, because, my friend, of knowing all these things, because, you see, it says pride goeth before destruction. Let me tell you what I think this passage does mean, and then let me tell you what I think it does not mean. The text says, ye know all things. I believe it means that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. This is found in John 16:13. What we're doing now is we're bringing other scriptures in the Bible to bear upon this particular verse so we get the proper interpretation. Well, John 16:13 has Jesus' words when he said, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, that is the anointing, the unction, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. All truth here does not mean all truth in reference to science, literature, and history. No, he will lead you into all the truth pertaining to life and godliness as you follow him. Didn't Jesus say the Holy Spirit will guide you? that is the Holy Spirit will lead you. And that means as you follow him little by little, step by step, he will reveal truth to you, the truth that he wants you to know, and that you're ready to receive without getting all puffed up. So the word is, he will guide you. The word guide indicates that we have a learning process here. For example, Peter was baptized of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, so he had the unction. But did he immediately know all things? Come on now, my friends. He certainly did not. He did not know even several days after Pentecost that Jesus wanted to baptize the Gentiles with the same Holy Spirit by which he baptized the Jews. Peter, although filled with the Holy Spirit, having been anointed of the Holy Spirit, the chief apostle, after his baptism with the Holy Spirit, did not know all things. He did not know that God wanted to do the same mighty work of salvation in the Gentiles as he did in the Jews. Can you imagine that? There's a presumption with many of us that we think once we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know all things and we no longer make any mistakes in judgment. My friend, this attitude leads to a lot of arrogance and certainly takes us away from humility, without which we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. God had Peter prepared through a trance, and in this trance, Peter saw a net with all kinds of creatures in it, creatures which were declared unclean by Old Testament law. And then God said to him, "Eat." And Peter said, "No way. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to eat this. These are unclean things in here." But God told him again, "Eat of this. What I cleanse, don't you make unclean." I'll tell you, my friend, Peter was determined not to eat. He was determined he was right with his doctrine, but God said, "No, you're wrong. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're wrong with your doctrine." You see, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth." Little by little, he will guide us into all truth. So you need to see the scripture here in 1 John chapter 2 in the context of all other scriptures in this particular area to get the right understanding. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll do that through the hearing of the word. He'll do that through us waiting upon God. He'll do that through his apostles, his prophets, his pastors, his teachers, and evangelists that were sent for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. Do you think the Holy Spirit will ever lead you away from the fivefold ministry that he ordained, that he created in order to perfect you? Of course, the answer is no. This spirit that is getting people off to the side, the spirit of independence, the spirit of trying to get out of the body of Christ or criticizing the body of Christ and trying to divide the body, is an antichrist spirit, as we see here in the Epistle of John. Indeed, we don't need any worldly teacher, as John said. That means we don't need human wisdom. We don't need human knowledge. We need divine wisdom of God, as it is given by the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of men and women of God. The source of all our knowledge and the things pertaining to life and godliness must be the Holy Spirit working, my friend, working through the Word and through His precious servants that love Him with all their heart. So, having tried to explain these two seemingly difficult passages in 1 John, we're ready for the abiding section of 1 John chapter 2. But as you can tell, our time is up, so we'll get into abiding in Christ next week, giving it our full attention. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now. Until next week.